Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Hello and welcome to the Guitar Nerds Podcast. I'm your host, Mark Packham, joined this evening by Matt Knight.
Hello.
And Joe Branton.
Hi.
And Jay Cross will be joining us at some point. He's out tending to stuff. We're in his house and he is here. He's just tending to stuff. He'll be in soon. So yeah, Jay's going to be joining us later on. Nice to have you back, Matt.
Yes, I think the internet is sorted.
We had some inter wrongs with you last week, but it's cool to have you back in the pod. We tried to do a podcast last week, but we couldn't talk about any pedals or anything that required any kind of modicum of knowledge. So
any actual information.
Yeah, we really struggled.
Well, that's good to know that I'm needed.
You are 100% needed, definitely.
That's why I should definitely, if we were the Beatles, I'd definitely be Harrison. You couldn't be the Beatles without Harrison.
Yeah.
Just there, indeed. You know, writing the riffs, writing some riffs.
Do you know what I've been listening to? I think I talked about this on the podcast like a few weeks ago, but I've been listening to a lot of Beatles solo stuff. Like anyone who follows me on Spotify, like look at the playlist that I've made. I've kind of like made Beatles solo stuff per decade playlists, which
didn't,
is weird.
Didn't you make a Beatles record, the album that the Beatles never made?
That's kind of what I've done, yeah. Like if the Beatles like didn't split up in 1970, but put out one record per decade up until like now, basically.
Yeah.
Go find me on Spotify. I'm sure I'm like Mark_random if you want to listen to those. But what it's shown by doing that is, firstly, John Lennon's solo career, rubbish. Like there's one good album, and then after that it's absolute toot. Right. Ringo, a surprising amount of bangers.
There's
an album by Ringo. I think it's like 1993, called Ringo-rama. It's got some great tunes on it. Really good production, like classic Beatles style production.
What was the record where he actually did Beatles songs?
Oh, that was like it was him and like the Ringo Starr band, which is his live band.
Good God.
George Harrison, loads of rubbish. There's like two good, maybe three good Harrison solo albums. The one, obviously, who comes out on top, we've declared our love for him before on this podcast, Paul McCartney, king of the world.
The thing is, Harrison just sort of, didn't he just decide to be like a gardener?
It's weird because he obviously had like some contractual obligations with record labels and stuff, because he'd kind of put out a record every 4 or 5 years, something like that. But there's one called like Gone Troppo, I think it's called, and it's so bad. It's so bad. Anyway, that was your weekly Beatles update. As you know, we have to do one every week. We're live, by the way, on ampli.fi/guitar nerds. If you're watching, thanks for joining us. You can hear Joe playing it in the background, in fact.
I tell you what, I was trying not to. It just sort of started doing it.
Yeah, if you're joining us on there, do join in with the chat. We're going to take some questions maybe from Amplify through the thing. But there's been some talk this week on the Facebook group about the format of the podcast and what we've been doing. So we realise in the last few weeks we've got a bit rambly because we've been dealing with the live stream and doing the podcast and stuff. And from now on, we're kicking it old school. We are going to introduce some new features into the podcast in which we will explore later on. We're going to be doing topics and we're going to be taking more questions from the Facebook group. We're going to try and shoot for 4 questions a week from the Facebook group, hand selected by us. We're going to tackle one of them each. But do feel free to chip in if you are watching live as well, and we will we'll still take your questions from there too. So I guess we should talk about what we've been up to this week. I guess the biggest bit of news, I've got a new guitar to talk about,
I can't believe you wouldn't let us talk about this guitar on the podcast. We could have been advertising and promoting how cool this guitar is and that everyone should get involved because it's a very limited edition.
It is super limited edition.
Which I think is why you didn't talk about it, so you could definitely secure your own.
Well, I just didn't want it to. Yeah, I think that is why. Like last week, I didn't want to talk about it because firstly, it hadn't arrived, and I didn't know what it was going to be like. Turns out it's really good. And secondly, I didn't want people to buy them because I know the place that's got them has only got like 6 of each color or something like that. I think that's like all there must be in the UK. So,
If I buy one, is it wrong?
What if we both have one?
Yeah. Well, maybe I should have a different color.
Yeah, there's one other really cool color.
Should we talk about this now and then we'll talk about your thing afterwards?
Yeah, let's do that. Cool.
So
we're mixing it up.
Yeah, so this week I took delivery of a Squire Affinity Limited Edition HH Strat. Okay, listening?
Yeah.
Pink Sparkle.
Which is incredible. I kind of wish you dropped in the Squire Affinity bit last because this is remarkable. Like, Fender do great finishes, but like in FSR runs and things like that, and for Squire as well. But this is really unique in that this is probably these three finishes that they've done, because they've released it in three colours, right? They've released it
pink sparkle, blue sparkle, green sparkle.
The green sparkle looks amazing as well.
Yeah.
But they've released this, probably their most bling colours that they've ever done.
Yep.
And they've done it on the Affinity series, which is madness.
It's made me happy because I'm saving up for various things at the moment, house and stuff like that. So it means that I haven't actually got a whole lot of money to spend on gear. And luckily for us, you know, we get sent a lot of stuff to demo that kind of passes through our hands on the way, either back to the manufacturer or off to a competition. So I get to play a lot of stuff without actually buying a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And what it means is that, like, I've bought some pedals this year. Like, I bought the Montreal Count to 5 and I think I got the Flint at the end of last year. But it means that I don't buy a lot of stuff. So buying stuff for me is like a real treat these days, because it means I like get to own it permanently rather than give it away to, you know, listeners or YouTube viewers or send it back, which is like kind of the most gutting thing.
Yeah,
so if I can't keep it, I want to be able to give it away to someone cool. And the other kind of route of that is like give it to the manufacturer, which is fine. You know, people don't have the budget to be giving stuff away in competitions all the time. So anyway, so it's cool for me to keep something, and like it's good that it was an Affinity because it means that it was like £177.
Well, that's the thing, and I think that's kind of
ridiculous money.
It's such a smart move by Squire because they've gone, well, everyone loves sparkle finishes,
yeah,
but only a sort of a few people would seriously consider going for something quite that bling for their main instrument, or sort of dropping £500 to £1,000. On something in that image. Not that you can really get that finish within that price point. I mean, I'd say you're really looking at like custom shop stuff.
Yeah, like I know that Warmoth do a finish that's called like magenta flake or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is cool, but then you're spending like $600-$700, I think, on the body, which for me would be cool. I'd love to be able to build a guitar from Warmoth, and to build something pink and sparkly would be amazing, because that is the best. Like, this Affinity is genuinely one of the best looking guitars I've ever seen.
For £177, that's so little money that essentially you can buy one. And if you want to mod that, if you want to put great tuners on it, because that would probably be the hardware is really where I think it's going to be limited. But that's the other cool thing, black hardware. Like, it's not the standard.
It's black. So it's black bridge and tuners.
Right.
Zebra pickups, white scratch plate, which I think is super cool. Like, the mix of black hardware, Zebra pickups, and white plate looks so cool. It looks like a kind of 80s Charvel, but in a good way. Like, one of the, like, not ridiculous, you know, like, not Tribal Flame or something like that, but a cool showy guitar. Yeah. So Matt, to answer your question, should you buy one? Yes, you should buy one. But what I'm thinking, you should keep your stock. And what I'm thinking of doing for mine is doing a YouTube video where we do a demo of it, like stock, and then we get people to vote on what mods to do on it. Like, what pickups should buy? Should we upgrade the tuners?
We should turn it into the ultimate metal machine. Like, as in, we should put something like a Seymour Duncan Invader in it, or
no,
Bare Knuckles.
I kind of like the idea of like a group vote. So every week or every couple of weeks, you kind of go, right, what pickups are you putting in? You give someone like five choices, and then we do it that way.
Totally. And maybe
I think that'd be a good way to do it.
Yeah, it's difficult to do on YouTube because you can't. On Twitter, obviously, you can do like polls and stuff. But yeah, like, how would you do that on YouTube? Don't know. Maybe we'd have to set up some sort of like. I don't know. We'll figure a system. But yeah, what I want to do is say to people like, okay, here are the five potential bridge pickups that I want to do. Which one should I put in it? And then these are the five potential neck pickups that I want to put in. What should I do? These are the five potential sets of tuners, or, you know, other mods that we can maybe do on it. You know, should it have coil taps? Should it not have coil taps? What
you could
should it five-way switch, three-way switch? What are we doing with it?
Seven-way switch.
Oh yeah,
I'm all about the super switch.
I mean, I was thinking that maybe we should have a micro switch for like for both each coil on each pickup on off.
Yeah.
How does that sound?
Yeah, and, the more switches, the better.
Just an Atari button for on off.
I was thinking like about switch. That. I was thinking about that because obviously at the moment it's got volume and two tones. Yeah. But I'm never going to use two tones. I probably won't use one tone, but maybe I should keep one tone and then replace the other hole in the scratch plate with an Atari-style Street Fighter button, button, kill switch.
Oh,
I think it would be awesome.
Yeah, do you know, that's the answer.
How's it routed underneath? Do you know?
I think, like, I haven't taken the plate off, but you know how you can just kind of tap on the plate and you know whether or not there's a... I think it's, like, swimming pool routed, so there is the option to go for, like... a third pickup, like a middle pickup.
Well, this is the thing, right? So there was a new at Summer NAMM, there was this new limited custom shop Fender announced, which was like the Charvel. I don't know if we talked about it or not, which had the humbucker in the bridge and then the tele pickup in the neck. And I thought, when I first saw it, I went, that is awful. And then the more I looked at it, the more I was like, actually, I'm really into having a tele neck pickup on a Strat and then a full humbucker.
Okay. So actually, someone posted something in the Facebook group recently about that. They were trying to, like, I don't know if they were selling this guitar. They weren't selling it directly in the Facebook group because as we know, that's an instant ban. Wait, someone's saying on Amplify that saying 80s Charvel is a good thing.
Yeah.
Like, no, there's definitely some bad 80s Charvels. Anyway, yeah, someone was selling a Strat, or like looking to sell a Strat in the Guitar Nerds Facebook group that had a bridge humbucker and a single Strat pickup in the neck, and it looks super cool. So I was kind of thinking maybe I could do that, or how about we go P90 neck, Strat pickup middle, humbucker in the bridge. How does that sound, Matty?
I just think there's so many ridiculous options, because I've always fancied a guitar with two Seymour Duncan P rails in it.
Yeah.
Oh,
and then having
great.
The triple shot mounting rings, so that you can then use the little dip switches on the pickups rings to kind of change everything.
Here's one. So how about we go for regular P90 in the neck, Strat single coil in the middle, P rails in the bridge, with some sort of micro switch in the bridge for the bridge pickup, so that we've got like the most ridiculous amount of switching combinations.
Yeah, I mean, that this is sounding more and more like something straight out of that period in the late 80s when people were trying to put too much.
I think we could do it in a subtle way. I think that we can do, or maybe we replace that tone, that second tone, with like a rotary control, like a PRS style pickup switching. So as well as the Strat switcher, we've also got options on there. I think that, like, I want to build basically the ultimate demo guitar without making it look crap.
And I was just going to say, if people want to go on the Facebook group, I've just found what you were talking about in terms of terrible 80s guitars. I mean, this thing is awful. I'll post up some pictures on the Facebook group, so join on there. But there's definitely some good ones, but I thought you'd been straight down the kind of Weezer route and just leave it to humbuckers.
Well, I could do
lock
that
down the trem.
I think this all needs to go to a vote on the probably on the YouTube channel, or we could do something in the Facebook group. I don't know, but I want to get people involved. Like, how should I completely improve this guitar? I was going to say, how could I completely mess up this guitar, but how can we improve it in the coolest way, but keeping that character of like a pink sparkly Strat?
I reckon if I get one, I'll go for green.
Yeah,
green
sparkle.
Do it.
I mean, I've got two pink guitars. I should probably vary colours somewhat.
I do think this means that I need to move on the pink Mosrite copy though, because I don't need two pink guitars. I don't need more than one electric guitar, really. And I've got the Les Paul Junior, which is...
Can't move on. It's a pink Moss right
now. I know, but it's like... I've run out of room on my guitar rack.
Oh, that is the worst reason. That's when you buy another guitar rack.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm supposed to be saving, and I've just spent £200 on a guitar. Anyway, so that's the good news for this week. Joe Branton.
Yes, I have some...
What's the news?
I got burgled this week.
Okay.
Total bummer. I got burgled last week, just the day after we recorded the podcast last week. At the time that I was burgled, I had all 11 of my girlfriend's guitars and basses there. I had my two pedal boards plus a box full of X amount of additional pedals. I had Matt Knight's and Mark Packham's full camera gear, DSLR cameras there, including our recording setup, our two-note setup that we use to record the YouTube videos.
All the pedals that we've got on loan from manufacturers.
Of loan pedals. My full Ashdown rig was over for the for a brief period of time as well. And they didn't take any of it, which was pretty...
They either respected your guitar collection massively and just went, oh, just take that old iPhone. Or they were like, this is going to be too hard to steal because all your stuff is pretty out there and it'll be hard to move on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, that's it. I mean, they were obviously just looking for things to put in their pockets. But yeah, all I lost was cash, an iPhone that I used for playing music. And unfortunately, my girlfriend lost all her jewellery. But I kept all my instruments. I was down the road at a pub when my girlfriend came home and saw, and she called me, and she was just like, she's like, we've been burgled. I was like, what? She's like, we've been burgled. So I was like, oh no. So I just hung up and ran from the pub to home.
I didn't let her explain
that all your
stuff was still
was
there.
So the whole way home, I was like, I've lost all my gear. What am I going to do? And I was thinking about like all your camera setup and everything like that. This could potentially have been absolutely tragic.
Yeah.
As it stands, it's fine.
So whichever podcast listener did it and left all the guitars there, thanks very much.
Cheers, man. Yeah,
cheers.
Thanks.
Send some love, Joe Branton's way. It's been a tough week this week. It's been, we've had some stuff going on in the Facebook group, but let's pull together. I just wanted to say before we move on to do like news and stuff, thanks for everyone for listening to the Guitar Nerds podcast. It's kind of cool, and it's cool that we can share stuff like that and share the things like buying a cool new guitar or sharing some more kind of tragic circumstances. Hey. It's cool that you all kind of come with us on this and listen to this stuff. And Guitar Nerds is all right. Hey. You guys is all right.
Yeah, thanks everyone.
Should we do some news?
We shall do some news. I think we should also maybe announce that we're going to start introducing some additional sections. I mean,
I spoke a bit about this on Facebook earlier. So we're bringing in Brand of the Week, which we've trialed before, and we're also going to be very strict on doing four questions from the Facebook group every week.
Yeah,
because we have often run out of time, and we want to give you guys some love.
Yes.
Let's do news first.
News.
Do you know what? I haven't even got the email open.
That's all right. I've got it here.
Okay. So, first up, Exotic Effects have unveiled the RC Booster
RC
V2.
Booster.
Matt Knight, you are go-to for pedal news. What's up with the version 2?
The version 2. Well, based off recently, they did a Scott Henderson signature RC booster. So rather than just the on-off switch, it had the additional gain control, which they've put on an extra foot switch, which is quite cool because this is like normal pedal size. This is like the normal steel enclosure you'd get for anything that's not a boss pedal, basically.
Okay.
With side jacks, like an MXR style pedal with two foot switches on it, which... Part of me thinks maybe slightly clunky, but actually, I think it's all right because if you maybe have it sideways on your board, you're only using the second button to go between gain 1 and 2, and that's the big difference with this is that it's the normal RC booster circuit plus the extra gain boost, which was inspired by the Scott Henderson one they did before. The nice thing is this is like 20 dBs of clean boost,
okay,
and then 15 dBs of two band active EQ, so. Think of it like almost like a spark booster, I suppose. I mean, this kind of predates the spark booster, but that kind of vibe, that's what most people might get if they've never seen Exotic, which is a bit more of a boutique brand. But yeah, basically, boutique clean boost that allows you to actually dial in a decent amount of gain as well. And I think that's, you know, the thing we've talked about, the Pigtronic Class A boost and things like that before, that kind of are just there to add volume. This is to add volume and gain, so it works well with really clean amps like Fender, or, you know, if you're going to stick it in front of a Marshall Plexi that's already fairly cranked. And it and allows you to tailor the EQ, which is kind of what you really want, because sometimes you might find that, you know, if you crank an amp, you lose some bottom end response, or, you know, if you're using a telly, it might be too bright. So having a 15 dB boost or cut allows you to dial it in a lot more. So yeah, I'm really interested to hear it. I think they're saying they've still got version ones out, but they should be gone by the end of the year, and the version twos are going to start coming out now. So I think you'll start seeing both, and they're both going to be the same price.
What sort of price are they?
They are $168, so they'll be about £169 to £179.
Cool.
Nice bright blue LED for the gain knob in the middle, which is quite nice. And they now come in chrome or copper, which I think is cool. The copper looks awesome, like proper, like shiny copper.
Nice.
Yeah. So I definitely think it's like, this is the kind of pedal I like a drive pedal for like softer overdrives, that's almost more like a clean boost. It's something that's just there to kind of dial up your guitar sound a little bit more, rather than be like an amp in a box, which, you know, we all love. You know, we talked about the Ramble Effects Marvel drive and stuff, which is great, but this is like the complete opposite of that.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Pure boost rather than amp in a box.
I like the idea of a boost that, at its heart, it's kind of basic. You know, if you just wanted that pedal to just be a clean boost, it's, you know, one of the most impressive kind of on the market. But it gives you, it's a nice utility pedal in that, you know, you could use it for a bit of drive, or you can use it to tweak the EQ. You know, you could do have a clean boost but also boost the bottom end or boost the top end, like you say, to compensate for guitar or amp, you know.
I think that's the thing, isn't it? I mean, there's so many times now where I've kind of like set a few sounds on my pedal board, and then I've like play guitar for a bit, and then I'll switch to the Les Paul, or I'll switch to an SG, it's humbuckers, and you sometimes just don't realize how much difference like the guitar makes to the way that your pedals sound.
Yeah.
And a pedal like this means that you can quickly alter that without going, oh, this pedal doesn't really work with this guitar, or this pedal doesn't, or this guitar doesn't work with this amp, or, you know, it allows you to kind of adjust everything to any kind of instrument you've got, as well as bass. I mean, that's the nice thing, is that you can use these sort of things on bass. They actually do make a bass version.
That's a bit weird.
I think
weird.
They just call it the RC Booster. Bass. I think they just call it the RC Booster Bass. Yeah, okay. I'm pretty sure the bass. I think it's, and because they also do a MB one, which has got a mid boost in it as well.
Right. Oh yeah, that's useful.
Yeah, but yeah, so yeah, awesome little effect that I think are going to be available from around about now.
Sweet. Hearing you say mid boost, just coming back to the pink sparkly Strat, why don't we go full TBX? Never go TBX.
I don't know, actually. Do you know what? I plugged a Clapton Strat in the other day, and I was like, actually, this TBX, not so bad.
Okay.
So bad. I think it's just the combination of the noiseless pickups and the TBX sounds particularly...
It's those very papery noiseless pickups, and it's like papery is such a stupid audio description, but it really is, though, isn't it? They do sound papery,
weak and thin,
but also like just kind of like flappy, like imagine a bit of paper flapping in the wind.
Kind of like old Lace Sensors, isn't it? I always describe Lace Sensors, although they're kind of nice pickups, they're like the typical 80s like plastic pickup, like everything sounded like ridiculously rigid. It sounded like a Strat, but there was like no movement. It was just like, here's that 80s funk sound you need for Huey Lewis and the News.
Yes.
And yeah, there you go.
Oh, talking about utility pedals, and this is one
I was hoping that you'd...
I know, this is one that's only going to really work on video, by the way. The Frederick Effects Utility Percolator arrived, and you should be able to see it on camera there, just holding it up. We talked about it last week. Going to have a video demo of that coming soon. Yeah.
So it looks great, actually, up close. Bear in mind, this pedal is it £90?
Yeah, they're like under £100. I'm sure they are.
Less than £100 for what really I think is going to be the next Kloncentor. It's a totally different type of pedal, but the harmonic percolator, I think imitations of that will do the same thing now as the Centaur did. Wicked. The actual chassis for it is really substantial. I can't believe that's a £90 pedal.
Well, what stands out about this is that it's not like cast. It's not like die cast. It feels like it's kind of bent aluminium. It looks like, and you know, you might be able to see this on camera here, but it's the back is not like a separate sheet that's pressed on. The back is kind of screwed onto the back of the pedal almost, and the top is like bent and folded aluminium.
It's really good, really high quality.
So good, and the kind of design on it, like we talked about last week with the Berlin TV tower on it, looks absolutely incredible. So yeah, just wanted to mention that arrived, and yeah,
I'm really looking forward to checking that out.
We're doing a competition on it as well. It's going to be a giveaway at
amazing.
Some point down the line.
I know I've just said about how great it is because it's so cheap, but this is you know, one of the absolute pedals that everyone should own. So
yep.
Wicked that it'll be a giveaway.
Definitely. Okay, so up next, a little bit of news, which, Matt, you swear that we've talked about this.
We absolutely haven't. How could we? They only came out today. They were only announced today, Matt Knight.
I definitely Googled it.
Matt,
because I'm sure we were talking about recording solutions
about
and mini amps.
If you talked about them a couple of weeks ago, then you broke an embargo, because these definitely weren't... We weren't talking about these.
I might have to. Maybe we were talking about it off camera. I'm sure.
I remember you mentioning the PV6505 Mini,
which is a different amplifier.
Not what this is.
This is the Piranha.
Maybe I'll go back and actually listen to one of our podcasts and have to.
Never do that. So this is the PV6505 Piranha microhead.
Yep.
Which I actually think. Is
Piranha's a stupid name.
It's a stupid... It was PV, isn't it? PV have still got a stupid logo.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah, I mean, they've still got a terrible logo. Yeah.
I mean, like, and the amp head itself looks awful, but I still think this is something that should have happened years ago.
Game changer.
Well, yeah, because bass players, we've had 500-watt bass heads that fit in the front of our gig bags for years.
Yeah.
And that just didn't happen in the guitar world, I guess, because they were so... reluctant to move away from valves. But as you know, both Roland and Orange have proved recently with the Blues Cubes and with the Crush Pro series, is that you know, you can get away with it. It's not even getting away with it. You can make a really good sounding amp without valves. And PV haven't even actually got away with this. They have made an amp head not much bigger than an iPhone.
It's quite a bit bigger than an iPhone.
It's deeper.
It's like a little mark, that kind of size.
No, it's smaller than that.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I've not seen one in the flesh. I've got to admit.
Yeah. It's super small, but it does have a 12AX7 in for the preamp, or it might be power amp.
Matt, have you got the deets?
Preamp.
Got the deets there.
It's a 20-watt solid state power amp with a 12AX7 preamp. So it'll be. Similar to a Microterra, basically.
Yeah.
I think that's
I know the Microterra has been around before, but the Microterra was almost a joke. It was too much of a. It was too much of a bedroom amp. You know, it had the ridiculous
Deal of the Year nominated.
Oh no! Don't get
joke.
Me wrong. It was great, but it's having the weird power supply.
Yeah,
I think took away any legitimacy from it being an actual gigging amp.
Do we know what power supply the Piranhas have got?
I don't know, but I really hope.
I bet you this it's the same power supply.
No, it's going to be legit
because you need extra. I don't think you can put like an IEC. The transformer effectively on a lot of these things has to be external,
right?
Because it would make the amp too big. So yeah, it probably has the same power supply.
No. Still, this is great.
We'll see.
The thing is though. You say that, but like I know a couple of people where I work who have bought micro Dark Terrors and gigged them and say they sound like top. Like
really good.
I think the key thing is, Joe, you know, how often have you listened to a micro Terror through a 412 or compared to the PPC little 8-inch cab? That's the thing. I reckon that, I mean, I've heard a micro Terror a couple of times through a 412 and it sounded phenomenal. It's probably just that the sound that you remember is listening to the little speaker. Fair enough.
It was still, I think maybe it was the chassis they went for because it was an imitation of the, it was a, just a smaller version of the Tiny Terror. I think that sort of made it look like the action figure version of the real thing. It looked like a toy, whereas the PV with the Piranha, it's just a totally new and actually a sensible shape and look. It's designed to go in the front of a gig bag, which of course the Microterra wouldn't because of its weird lunchbox shape. But I think I think this is great. It's under £200. It's the perfect thing. You can sit it on top of your interface and have at home to plug into. I think it's brilliant for that.
Yeah.
I think it's a brilliant little amp to stick in the front of your gig bag and go to an easy show. I mean, I've obviously really been into the Laney Ironheart and that whole sort of style of this is a tool for every situation,
yeah,
sort of amp head. And whilst this isn't quite that, I think this is a really sharp product,
I think so,
by PV.
Are there any other worth knowing about, Matthew? Has it got like USB recording out? And
not as far as I can see. I think it's mainly just small little pocket amp, valve preamp, 20 watt solid state power amp, 116 ohm output. So that's a bit weird because that does mean that you can't ever plug it into an 8 ohm cab.
Okay.
Because you can, if it's an 8 ohm, at least you can go one higher.
Yeah.
But if it's 16, you can't go one lower. Does have an auxiliary input though.
Okay.
So that's quite cool for playing stuff through. But yeah, great sort of backup amp for gigs and for more people who want the kind of tighter PV like metal sound rather than a slightly sort of bassier, sort of fuzzier side of like the Orange, which is the only real competitor.
That's a good way to think about it, I think, is like this isn't going up against like Microterra or, you know, Tiny Terras or anything like that. It's it's not going up against 6505 Minis, right, or Tiny Terras. It's right, going up against the Microterra.
Of course
it's
that's what it is.
It's another flavour of that. Being told in the Amplified chat that we have talked about this before. But a long time ago, before it was official and stuff.
I mean, if I was on the podcast where we talked about that, I was not aware that we were talking about that.
Yes, I think so too. Because
I think I remember talking about it, and I think I thought we were talking about the Mini.
Mini, yes, me too. So
fine.
Don't trust us with our. this is not.
Just trust me. Just
nonetheless, just trust this is me. A great product, and it's £180. And if you don't have it, you should get it.
Okay, good. I'm glad that you've done that. Yeah. So that's news this week. Like I said, I wanted to tell you about the harmonic percolator the utility percolator that's arrived. But also, we've got another competition going live on YouTube this week. So that, I guess, that's a bit of news. We're giving away a Seymour Duncan pickup booster.
Yeah. Oh,
exciting.
What a great pedal.
Yep.
Like, what an absolute legend of a pedal.
Yep.
To be able to give away. How are we giving that away? We're doing it on YouTube.
On the YouTube.
Sweet.
As part of Pedal of the Week.
So make sure you subscribe, peeps.
Yeah, if you're not subscribed to the YouTube, Guitar Nerds videos on YouTube. Shall we introduce this brand new segment? This is an idea that you have been talking about for a while.
Yes, yeah, and then I just didn't action. But now...
I mean, you did once, I think. We got one brand of the week in on the podcast a little while ago.
And then I didn't do any more, but...
I think the problem was it was a bass brand and...
No,
as much
cared.
As they were cool, no one really bothered that
no,
much.
Okay. So anyway, so this week I'll be doing another bass brand, bass specific.
Definitely not.
It's a company that just makes bass DIs, but don't worry, they've got 40 years of history and heritage, which I'm going to go through on a year-by-year structure. Let me just bring up the PowerPoint. And
if only. Because I've looked at the notes that you made for this, and I was like, "Oh, I didn't read them fully. Maybe they are just making bass DIs now." Is there a jingle?
I've got one. I've got one in my head.
Okay, go on then.
Brand of the week.
You got lovely vibrato there.
Oh, thanks, man. Yeah, cheers.
If only your bass playing was as cultured as your voice.
No.
Go on then. So who's brand of the week this week?
This week on Brand of the Week, I'm going for it. It was a real toss-up, so I am actually going to talk a little bit.
What'd you call me?
I'm sorry. I am going to mention the band that I'm going to talk about in more detail next week at the end, but I thought I would do airline guitars. Now,
cool.
Yeah, very, very cool. If you're not familiar with airline guitars at all, then just watch some early White Stripes or people like The Cure, David Bowie. They've all had airlines at one point or another. And Airline were an American company that set up in the 50s, actually, in the late 50s, 1958. They only...
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ,
the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
He actually made guitars for 10 years between 1958 and 1968. They were set up by a company called Valco, who had their hands in a few pies. They did. They also did Supro amps. They came from the same.
Really?
Same company.
I did not know that.
They were affiliated with Dan Electro, like a lot of the factory that made the Super Amps were badging them for Dan Electro as well at the time when they were under Valco. So
you've just reminded me, actually, there was some other news this week.
There's
we'll talk about it next week, but okay. There's some brand new Dan Electro models.
Oh my, I haven't checked this, but that is actually the most exciting thing. We have to come back to that.
That's
afterwards.
That's your cliffhanger for next week, that there are some new Dan Electro models. Anyway, yeah, okay. Back to Airline.
Yeah, so the thing that made Airline so... Because, of course, they're a company we're talking about now, even though they only existed for 10 years. 10 years, that's like... Mm-hmm. You know, Fender had series of guitars that lasted longer than that, you know, and these guys... complete company range lasted that very brief period, didn't even make it into the 70s. But what made Airline really unique is that they patented the term resoglass, which was essentially fiberglass. They were making the bodies out of fiberglass, and that of course gave them a very, very unique tone, but also the way that they were cut and constructed was much more angular and all, sort of all sharp edges.
There's a few guitars around that time using that. People like National, this is towards the end of the 60s, I guess. End of the 60s.
Yeah, it wasn't a wholly unique thing.
Sure. I mean, the National ones, what's kind of cool about those is that they were able to, like, make the fiberglass, like, colours that you would never see on, you know, just a regular wooden guitar.
Yeah.
So there's, like, quite a famous National... It's like a semi-hollow guitar, but there's no F-holes, and it's in a really weird shape.
Right.
And it's like bright green, which you kind of, I guess, wouldn't have seen around that time. Like a really vibrant, like neon green. And I think it's to do with that manufacturing. So.
Well, yeah, I mean, certainly you can look at sort of any of the Airline models, and they are really unique and really interesting colours. Sort of very, very like late 50s, 60s style. Sort of really rich greens or sort of really pastel colours. It's really unique. It was a really unique company at a time when things were sort of starting to become normalised into the sort of the sort of Fender Gibson domination. So what made them cool and unique was obviously this resoglass. They also didn't have truss rods, steel reinforced necks, as if that was ever going to work.
Sure. Is that why they often get used for slide guitar?
That is almost definitely why. But anyway, in that's sort of what happened to them. They were obviously played by a few famous people, the old original models. The most famous being the Hutto. It wasn't actually called the Hutto, but it became known as that because there was a famous blues player called Hutto.
Jabba the Hutto.
Yeah, that guy. But that was the most famous one. That's the one that Jack White uses, that you see him in. He has a red one of those, one of the old original resoglass ones. But in the year 2000, Eastwood Guitars bought the name airline and the rights to remake the Hutto specifically as their first one.
Kind of Eastwood stock in trade, really, isn't it? Is to find these kind of old weird models,
yeah.
And to just bring them back.
Give them a new life,
I've got their website here. I was going to pull out some once you've finished with those. I was going to pull out some of my classics. One of my favourites, let's just say, that I've spotted on their website that are definitely worth mentioning.
Yeah, absolutely.
In fact, they do one of my favourite signature guitars, actually, Eastwood.
Okay. All right, yeah, we'll talk about that after, because there are some cool bits about their website that I want to talk about as well. But, so the first reissue of the Hutto, they renamed it the DLX or the Deluxe, and it was brought out under Eastwood, under Eastwood's brand name. And this, it was quite a weak reissue. They went for sort of the overall body shape, but... obviously it had a proper truss rod. It was a chambered mahogany body, so tonally it wasn't the guitar at all. They did some other things, like the tuners were different, the scratch plate was a slightly different shape. They'd gone for traditional block inlays rather than the weird angled rectangles on the original airlines. So there were a few, it was just sort of a normalized cheap reissue. The other thing they also changed was they had they changed it to two humbucking pickups, which wasn't the case on the original airlines. They were massive, but they were just huge housings for single coils.
Really?
Yeah. So they were actually,
because they look like, I mean, I've seen Jack White's guitar, obviously, and I've seen the airline, you know, the modern reissues.
Yeah, single coils.
Really?
Yeah, mental that. I was surprised to find that out as well.
I'm also surprised to find out that the reissues, because I've never seen one of the airline or Eastwoods in the flesh, actually, only in pictures. It's quite a surprise to find out they're mahogany.
Yeah, it's a bit of a shame, I think.
Yeah.
That's not really, those aren't the tones that I want when you go for that sort of look.
No.
There's a company out there that actually sell Resoglass kits.
If you read the notes that are in the emails, you're ruining my bullet points about two ahead.
I didn't see that. Yeah, I wasn't actually looking at it, to be honest.
Right, well, that was actually the next point. I'll skip past my next little bit, which was also going to be interesting. Because of course, Airline have now turned up. Eastwood are now making a second range of guitars under the name Airline, and they have introduced the DLX has now been introduced as like a, I think there's a like a 58 and 59, they're calling them, and it's their proper airlines. They, whilst they're still mahogany and chambered, they've tried to make things a little bit more authentic, and they've released a full range of airlines. They've tried to do the whole back catalogue, which is cool. Massive amount of left-handed options as well.
That's always nice. So we all know the famous Airline guitar. Yeah. What were the other options?
Well, there are loads, but let me come to that in a minute, because coming onto Matt's point, if you love the idea of Airline guitars, but you are completely turned off by the fact that these are now essentially mahogany, just modern sounding guitars, you want something that's different.
They're just kind of like a hollow body, you know, Epiphone style guitar in a funny shape.
Exactly. Guitar Kits USA, which is the company Matt's thinking of, have bought the rights to Resoglass.
Okay.
And they have reissued bodies of the proper fiberglass Huttos. So you can buy the body of the old airline, the old fiberglass airlines.
Can you buy necks?
There must
be
necks. There must be necks. Yeah. I'm sure there are. But that's pretty cool.
Because they've got a unique headstock, aren't they? They've got a kind of weird offset Les Paul style headstock, I guess.
Yeah.
That's right, isn't it? They're three aside, from what I remember.
Right, yeah.
So, yeah, and it would be quite weird to sell those bodies and not, you know, just put, like, a Les Paul neck on them. That would be kind of weird. So
I'm not going to talk about the rest of the range.
Okay.
Because I think there's something more interesting to talk about Airline and Eastwood.
Okay.
This is kind of on their website.
You're kind of covertly talking about Eastwood, aren't you?
Well, it's Airline are their better guitars. The guitars they release under Eastwood I don't think are as interesting or as good. But the best part about Eastwood Airline... I mean, essentially all it is now is the name. Like, Airline don't exist.
Yeah.
Eastwood owned them and reissued their guitars. And they are great. They look great. Eastwood Custom Shop.
Okay.
If you have not checked this out, I really strongly recommend everyone go on to eastwoodcustoms.com. They don't make their custom shops like people normally do. You cannot tell them what you want and buy it.
Right.
What they do is they come up with weird ideas and they... crowdfund them, and everything on their custom shop is crowdfunded. You can see on there, it tells you how much they are crowdfunded, and basically you put down a deposit.
OK. Okay.
And if they get enough deposits behind a model, then they'll make it. And there is some absolutely bonkers stuff on here. There's for me, they're doing an Eastwood RD base.
Okay.
Like the Gibson RD bases.
How are they getting away with this?
I've no idea. 79% pledged at the moment that we're looking at this, but there are some. There's the Eastwood Swinger, which is like a one pickup Mustang, but really angular.
It's the Fender Swinger, believe it or not, also known as the Fender Music Lander, also known as the Fender Arrow.
I didn't know about this. So, this is a whole guitar I don't know about.
So this guitar is originally, basically, they had a load of Fender 12 necks, which was the mid 60s Fender 12 string.
Yeah.
They had a load of Mustang bodies and a load of what was it called? Music Master scratch plates. So they basically cut random bits out of a Mustang body and said, oh yeah, we've made a new guitar. But they came out under like loads of different names. I think the rarest one is the Music Lander.
That is the weirdest name as
well.
I know.
I think there's something like 12 of those.
Okay.
The Arrow is the second rarest one, and then the Swinger is the one that was fairly common. But that even that is, you know, you just won't see one now.
That is absolutely mental.
Yeah, so that was an actual Fender guitar. And again, it amazes me that they've, I guess the trademarks, I guess the trademarks on these have just slipped, maybe.
Yeah, you know, possibly. I mean? Matt, so, you should go onto eastwoodcustoms.com and
I'm
have
looking,
a look.
I'm looking now. So, I'm amazing because
they've got
they're
things.
Basically make, yeah.
Sorry, go on.
So I was going to say, they're basically making a copy of the Ovation Deacon.
And the Breadwinner.
The Breadwinner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Spectrum 5, that's the like split pickup one that's got like six single coils in it.
Everyone listening and watching should go and check out the Micro Frets Space Tone, which is the bizarrest thing I've seen and has already hit 263% of its budget.
How bizarre.
They're doing like
Flying Wedge.
The Shergolds, which were like a big 70s guitar.
Yeah. Yep. They're about to come back actually, Shergolds.
But also, like all the Devo stuff. Like,
yeah.
I like the fact they're doing like the B stiff bass, which is just that like really weird, like odd shaped bass.
Yeah.
They actually
did a signature model for a guy called Kepi from a band called Groovy Ghoulies, who
I was just having a look at that. The colour's amazing. Gooly Green.
So Kepi is he was in a band called the Groovy Ghoulies for a long time, a band that I played with a couple times, and we put them on fairly locally. They were one of the most famous kind of Ramonesy sounding pop punk bands, Eastwood have done him a signature. He's no longer in Groovy Ghoulies; they don't exist anymore. Eastwood have really supported him, and he used to play one of the spaceship basses.
Yeah.
But now he's got his own. When he was in Groovy Ghoulies, because he was the bass player, and now that he does solo stuff, he has got a guitar, and which is based roughly on one of the Huttos.
Right.
But it's in like a real nice, rich green. And
with
it's
a little
got
skull on it.
A little skull on it, which is his logo. Someone in the Facebook group actually has got one of those, which is
really
super cool. Yeah, really cool.
That is awesome. But yeah, I mean, everyone check out the page, because there are things like the 59, which is the Hutto, with like Telecaster pickups. The Flying Wedge, I think, is spectacular.
Bonkers.
I mean, the name says it all. But really, and these things are quite, they're all reasonably priced. Like, for example, the only one I was really looking at, to be honest, in detail, and looked at possibly funding, was the Eastwood, which is...
They're all Eastwood.
The Eastwood. The RD... the RD base.
Oh, just the Eastwood.
The RD base was the only one I really checked out. But retail is £600. That's all they want for it.
Really?
And you just put down a deposit of, like, a 150, I think.
Wow.
And so these things aren't necessarily breaking the bank, but what you are guaranteed is you're going to get something really unique and something that's, you know, been made with a lot of love behind the design. And
Chinese
stuff.
Made,
yeah.
I take it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess that they're... Oh, yeah. Jay's computer just made a weird noise.
Yeah,
cool. Yeah, they... it means that, yeah, basically they must have a limited... like a minimum production run in, with their factory. They obviously meet that with the deposits, and then they get them built. So super cool.
There are some great guitars on there.
There's
and
a
I
guitar
mean,
that we spoke about before, the Deerhoof, the Eastwood Deerhoof signature,
which
we spoke about at, during the NAMM launch, and that was obviously made off the back of this and achieved 704% of its target, a total of £14,000
towards this. I can't believe they do a reissue of a 1968 guitar called which was by Tysco, called the May Queen.
Yes.
I was like, oh, it's like some sort of like Queen guitar. No, just so happens that it's the mixture of May and Queen, but about 5 years before Queen actually happened.
Yeah.
They also make that awesome Warren Ellis signature double neck, which is the mandolin and tenor guitar.
They do.
In the Hutto style.
Yes.
Very cool.
As far as I'm aware as well, they've just announced the new Warren Ellis signature. Because he, he has the little tenor guitar that kind of looks almost like Stratty, doesn't it? But it's a little tenor. There's a new version of that coming, apparently. I saw that on Instagram the other day.
Yeah, they make some cool stuff.
Yeah, definitely. Everyone go and check them out. Next week, I'm going to be talking to you about little-known Italian 60s brand Goya.
Nice. Exciting stuff. I like Brand of the Week. That was fun.
Oh, cool.
If you enjoyed it, let us know in the Facebook group or on Twitter or wherever you want to shout at Joe for being boring.
Thanks. Sorry.
Should we dive in some questions?
Questions.
Yes. Thanks. You beat me to it. I was going to say, let's read one of these out each. Do you want me to start?
Yeah. Why don't you read
them? Cool. Dave says, okay, this is interesting. From your experience, can you name some cheap guitars that are comparable with name brands? Let's get a cool list of affordable guitars going.
That's interesting.
Matt Knight, do you want to just pick one that you think like is affordable, maybe not from a big name brand, but is definitely worth checking out?
Airline.
That's tricky. Yeah.
Let's say,
actually, I tell you what, I mean, it depends what you class as like mega affordable. Well, but recently I've had a proper chance now to play the whole Reverend range.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And if you're after an awesome guitar that's sub £1,000, that's kind of like a known brand, but it's like well different to anything else.
Yeah.
They honestly outplay so many guitars. I mean, they're Korean built, shipped to America and QC'd, and every one is then hand signed and numbered.
Right.
And every single one comes out playing as good as Fender Custom Shop. They're awesome, and they do
really
like loads of cool stuff, like similar to like the Eastwood thing. They do like some one pickup ones with Bigsby's, P90s, humbuckers.
Are Anderton's like, doing them yet?
Are
Anderton's stocking Reverend yet?
Yes, yeah, we've got them
before,
in stock.
I think the only place in the UK was Merchant City Music in Glasgow.
Yeah, yeah.
No, we've got 30 or 40 different ones in stock at the moment.
I think they're kind of the success story in guitars for the last like couple years. Really, they've come out of nowhere, and now loads of people I know are playing them because they, you know, where do they start? £600, something like that?
Yeah, I mean, they start at, I think £599, and then they go up. They do go up to like £1,100, but most of them are sub £1,000. Yep. And like the necks feel so nice on them.
Yeah.
And just like every single one came perfect set up, perfectly in tune, and just like sounds great. They do an amazing baritone, and I was just like, oh. Some great satin colours, good finishes, just really different to anything else. Really different to anything else.
Yeah. Joe Branton.
So I would say Hagstrom. I know that's a bit broken record. I know I've spoken about them lots, but they automatically spring to mind because they do a Les Paul copy that is really, really good, really well built, sounds amazing, and is like £600. But I won't specifically. I was just trying to. Their website's being built at the moment, so.
Their website is being built.
Yeah, well, they did tell me that they were changing their site. So, oh look, here we are. They've changed it. They've changed it.
Okay, good.
I've got it. Good. So I was just going to find. They've got a Retroscape is the name of their series. The series, and. And within the Retroscape, they do the Impala and the Condor specifically, which are all like sub £300 pedals. They have actually
pedals.
Guitars.
You got pedals on the brain.
Sorry, I do. Also sub £400 guitars with more sort of really interesting, weird '60s guitars. It was supposed to be comparable to. Was it supposed to be similar to something?
No, not. What's a cool budget guitar?
Well, they are very cool. Definitely check out the Condor and Impala, just because they've got tons and tons of like those little toggle switches that are adjusting your tone. You get like a three single core version, which is cool. But they also do a bolt-on Les Paul Junior style model for less than £200 with two single coils in it.
What?
And they're weird, like square single coils, one in the neck and one in the bridge.
Oh, the sort of Diamond style.
Yeah, that style thing. And you can get them like yeah, a bolt-on Les Paul Junior in white with like a weird sort of wood effect scratch plate and two single coils for less than £200. That's cool.
I'm going to say, just because they have got some new models out, which I haven't got the info on yet, Dan Electro. We talked about them loads of times, but if you want something that... It's hard to say they compare to like a bigger name brand, because they don't, much like Hagstrom, they don't go for that. And also, much like Reverend, don't really go for that. They're doing their own thing. But yeah, I just think that Dan Electros are so cool. And, you know, Jay's mentioned it before. Jay's owned them, and we talk about them a lot. But what I love about Dan Electro, and I also hate about Dan Electro, is the constant rotation of new models. Because they'll do a good one, and then that'll disappear for a bit, and then they bring out one that you're like not so keen on, and that'll disappear for a bit, and then the good one will come out, and you're never sure how long it'll last. So yeah, my advice is Dan Electro are cool guitars, but if you see one that you like, just snap it up, because not literally snap it, because they are probably quite easy to snap.
Very easy.
You should buy it. If there's a model out that you like, definitely get it.
There was a little while ago, maybe about 10 years ago, they released a very sort of a short horned full scale bass with a scratch plate that was very strange, because it took up a lot of the body, but had a cutout around the pickups.
I
can't remember the name of the model, but they did it in
I can't remember.
They did it in sunburst black, and they did it in a sort of a blue, sort of a powder blue finish, and it was they were obviously around for quite a while, but they were a little bit unpopular, to say the least. So I picked one up. When I say I picked one up, I picked two up.
Okay.
Because they were doing buy one, get one free.
What?
Yeah. Two blue ones. So I got one and sold the one back on eBay for sort of half the price.
That's all right, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, so Dan Electro, wicked brand.
Neat. Let's do... Matt, do you want to read this one from Steve?
I feel a bit nervous now.
You're nervous at this. This is the first time you've read a question.
Yeah. So, it's a pedal board question. Easy. Hello, everyone. I'm looking for some advice. Hello. I've just finished my new pedal board, but I'm getting quite a lot of noise. I'm running a MIDI setup with a JMP1 and the Lisa's MIDI Verb. Good man. The signal path through my Memory Man effect is running through the effects loop, fuzz clone, wah, whammy, auto wah, and Strymon Deco. All effects work without hum when connected individually, but when grouped, the hum disappears with either Harmony Man or Whammy taken out. These are both AC powered, and the rest are DC isolated supplies. Not sure if the issue, what the issue is, but is there a workaround?
Would think that.
I sounds like he's just using a lot of things, and I don't know what power supply he's using.
Yeah.
I mean, it's always tricky, especially with things like the Whammy and the Digitech Harmony Man, because they work on ridiculous power supplies.
Yeah.
If it's like a Whammy 4, they're like that stupid, bulky, massive AC power supply.
Yeah, the one that like loads of customers would come in and ask for when we were working at the shop. You'd have to be like... I can't remember the name of it now, but I used to know the long serial code off the top of my head, because many people will come in and be like, I've lost it.
But no power brick will power that, so you kind of have to run it off his own supply, and the same with the Digitech.
Yeah.
And I think things like fuzz, auto wah, whammy, work without hum when connected individually, but when grouped, I'd imagine it sounds like he's getting some sort of like grounding hum.
Yeah.
So it might be that the amp, I'm just guessing here, but if the amp's plugged into the same like multi-plug socket that the rest of the pedals are plugged into, and you're getting an earth hum, that could be it. It could be that the power supply using to power the rest, he does say DC isolated supplies.
Matt, I'll just stop you there. If you just noticed like a massive bass rumbling on the podcast,
everything was shaking.
What was happening outside? Was there a helicopter?
I think so, yeah.
How bizarre. Flying, Matt can't hear it, obviously, because he joins us via the internet in his leafy London suburb. But it sounds like there's a war going on outside.
You're not by the sea, so who knows what might happen.
Maybe. I'm glad we're up high, is all I'm saying. So we think that basically the amp being on perhaps the same power supply as pedal board.
The way that I've always kind of done this is plug your pedal board in one by one. So like plug the first pedal in with the power brick using, plug it into the amp, no hum, until you finally work out what the source of the hum is and then go, oh, it might be the whammy. Try different supply for the whammy,
yeah,
and then see if that works as well.
Yeah.
But those old or you know, I know it's not a cheap solution, but if you upgrade to whammy 5, they work on a normal 9-volt supply now.
Yeah.
So that might help. And plus you've got the polyphonic mode as well, so maybe a chance to kind of, you know, stick a new pedal in there as well.
Yeah, very nice, very nice. Joe, do you want to take Ollie's question?
Certainly. Ollie says, in the future, I'll be looking to get an overdrive pedal.
You started off relatively normal, and then you thought, oh, this is, I've been given the opportunity to do a voice here. Why am I not doing a voice?
Sorry. In the future, I'll be looking to get an overdrive pedal, something fat and warm, with smooth musical mids, preferably with a pleasing top end that isn't too brittle. I'd be using it as my main rhythm tone, and I'd boost it with a mid boost for lead solos. Rhythm pedal, mid boost, amp. Any recommendations would be great, because I'll have an idea of what I want to try out.
Sounds good. So, did he say which mid boost he's using?
He didn't say which
mid boost.
Yeah, it's a bit difficult, isn't it, not knowing which mid boost and which amp, really. But something like fat and smooth, fat and warm on the overdrive front. What do you think, Joe?
I would probably say Electro Harmonix Bass Soul Food. I know he said guitar. I mean that for guitar.
Yeah, sure.
I think they're great, really affordable. Were imitations of, you know, a legendary drive pedal, and just that added sort of low end response, I think, on guitar. I actually don't think they were very good on bass. I think they were far too mid heavy for bass. But on guitar, I think they're just right for just like a really big fat sort of, exactly what he's after, if he wants sort of a warm overdrive. That said, he said he wanted a pleasing top end, and they might be a little woolly for that, so maybe I should rethink. But yeah, that a great drive pedal and definitely worth a shout nonetheless.
Cool. Matt, any suggestions?
Yeah, I mean, when he says like rhythm sound, I kind of think like Marshall, like Angus Young, like big chords. So maybe something like the JHS Charlie Brown, which is kind of like a Marshall in a box, but not, you know, more amp like and not sort of ridiculously high gain. But in terms of an overdrive worth checking out, if you can pick one up, the old Marshall Blues Breakers, the early ones in the big boxes.
So good. So good.
I mean, that Gary Moore used one of those a lot into his Marshall for kind of like his lead sound.
And
if you can pick one up, I think if you get like the second generation, like the really early ones, go for some silly money, but the like second generations before they go to the small silver boxes, like really class pedals. Yeah,
the small silver box is kind of a different pedal entirely, isn't it?
It's
all about that.
Yeah,
the big, not, big black box.
Really, on the affordable front, just to throw in on that note, the X-Vibe Golden Brownie.
Yes. Oh, what a pedal.
What a great pedal. And what are they? How much are they? Like £60?
They were definitely under £100.
No money. And one of the best sounding
drives. That was really, really cool. Yeah. Golden Brownie, which is the Thomas Blug co-designed X-Vibe pedal.
€56.
Wow.
That's unbelievable. That's another pedal that should be on everyone's board. That's unbelievable. It's a micro pedal, and it's in a really good high quality chassis.
Yeah.
It's the sort of thing that if it was £150, we'd be sitting here saying it's £150, but look at the quality of the control knobs and the chassis and everything like that. But it's 56.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Very, very good indeed. Right, we're up.
Are you going to put one into the mix?
A drive pedal. A drive pedal. It depends on the amp, really. I mean, what I would do is, you've already said the Soul Food, which I highly recommend. We always talk about the Ramble FX Marvel Drive, which if you run it on a low gain is a really good drive pedal. Tell you what else I like, the Seymour Duncan 805 Overdrive is one that we've been tinkering with recently.
Really
cool. I guess that's kind of halfway between a boost and a drive. What I like about it is that it's got really detailed EQ. It's 3-band EQ on there, Matt. Is that right, Matt, or 2-band?
Yeah. On the Marvel Drive.
No, on the Seymour Duncan 805.
Oh, the 805. It is,
I think it's 3-band. I'm sure
3-band.
I'm pretty sure
it's 3-band.
Because they're all micro switches.
Micro pots.
Yeah.
Because we don't know which guitar or which amp, I guess recommending something flexible would be good. So, the 805 Overdrive is like a really cool Tube Screamer style overdrive, but with an active 3-band EQ that means you can get loads and loads of different tones. I'm highly, highly recommend it. Seymour Duncan stuff is super cool. They sent us a load of stuff to do videos on, and like I said, we're giving away the pickup booster. And so I know a lot. We're also getting things in the chat from Amplify. People saying Joyo British Sound.
I'm not sure about that one, to be honest.
JHS Morning Glory, which is a Blues Baker Crone, and the Timmy as well. Timmy is a classic, although they're quite hard to get now. Is that right, Matt?
Yeah, the guy still makes the Timmy, but like it makes them in very, very small batches. There's loads of pedals out there that have basically now in the boutique world have kind of almost like stolen that design. So it's kind of, they're like Fender in a box, I suppose, almost. So that classic drive, volume, bass, treble.
Yep. Yeah,
there's loads of pedals that are kind of following that sort of traditional vibe now.
If you're listening, Ollie, let us know. Drop us a message. Let us know which guitar and amp you're using, and we can probably find a more tailored solution for you. We can definitely come back to that, or post it in the Facebook group, and we'll chat about it on there. So we are up at time. Yes. Thanks for joining us this week. We should probably talk about Patreon.
Yes, yes, we should.
Patreon is something that we've been doing for a while, and you guys are obviously, you know, you contribute to it every week at different price points. It gets you an extra, from $5 a month, it gets you an extra half an hour of Guitar Nerds content every week. We've kind of used it as like an after hours episode, haven't we? We chat about loads of stuff, from guitars to, you know, food to
wrestling.
Occasionally professional wrestling sometimes slips in there. Oh man, I've got to tell you about this wrestling event I'm going to.
But not on a podcast.
No, that's true. So people have been crying out for us to go back and do some stuff that we did on the podcast of old, which are sound-alike features.
Yes, we used to do a proper themed section.
We did,
section.
Indeed, we did. And they take up roughly about half an hour. So it's probably something that, with the news and questions and brand of the week and stuff, we probably don't have time to fit into the regular episode. So what we're going to do is each week now, we're going to pick an artist and do a whole sound-alike Patreon episode over on patreon.com/guitar nerds. So if you get in there, and if you're so kind as to contribute to the Patreon, you can join us every week for a sound-alike feature. That's from $5 a month for our regular backing tier, but if you go for the $10 a month option, you become one of our executive backers, where not only do you get our extra half an hour, but you get your name read out by Mr. Joseph Branton,
Steve Merkel, Tony Blair, Andrew Marco.
Read his name correctly. Saying Tony Blair.
All right, sorry.
Steve Merkel, Blair Toms, Andrew Marco, Mark Cross, J.D. Short, David Carroll, Andy McKenzie, Brad Pitt, Paul Corrigan, Jack Godfrey, Jack Conroy, Will Clare, Scott O'Brien, Matt Quine, Phil Tomsett, Moog Gravett, Laurie Anstis, Colin Anderson.
There you go.
Whose name did you say wrong on there?
Called
Brad Page. Yeah, you said Brad Page wrong. You said Brad Pitt.
Did I?
Yes.
I honestly didn't realise.
Really?
Sure.
You knew. You're unbelievable. Anyway, so yeah, that's what we're going to be doing over on patreon.com/guitar nerds. If you've been watching live, thanks for joining us. ampli.fi/guitar nerds, where we're doing this live every week. This week I also want to push the website, guitarnerds.net, because there's going to be news stories going up there. Joe Branton, you know, might be doing some features and things. More stuff is going on the site, but you know, all the usual places as well: YouTube, Twitter @guitarnerds, Instagram @guitarnerds.
We've had on the Amplify group actually someone get back to us with what the setup of that fella is. So we don't have time for it now, but maybe we'll come back to that.
Okay, yeah, we can do that next week. Definitely, definitely. Is that Ollie in the group then?
I don't know. No, I don't think so.
Someone in the group just said, did Matt just flash a Paisley Strat? I believe he did.
Yeah.
So if you're watching this on YouTube or on Amplify, you would see that. You can follow us individually. You can see pictures of Matt's guitar, I'd imagine, somewhere on his Twitter @Matt_Nightsy. You can follow Joe @Joseph_900. You can follow Jay @JAYBM1. And you can follow me if you want to talk about old computer games, the hilarious world of professional wrestling, and probably some guitar stuff, I don't know, @Mark_Random. Thanks so much for listening this week, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.